This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening. Oh,
I'm
there you
here.
Are.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 5th, episode 1331, brought to you by S Equestrian. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
Your time in the saddle ain't as rough as a life in between.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Emily is off today. This is normally the jumping episode that we do once a month, but she had other things to attend to today. So Jamie is filling in, and we're just going to have a show today. We have a whole bunch of things, which Jennifer is going to tell you about in a minute. But before we get to Jamie's big announcement. I realize Jamie pissed a lot of people off yesterday who apparently changed their plans to listen to the show just to hear your big announcement. And then we didn't. So, yes, first thing, top of the show today. Stay tuned. Just a couple minutes. We'll be getting to that. Before we do that, there was a very sad event that happened in Wellington yesterday. 31-year-old international show jumper Andreas Rodriguez passed away at a Florida hospital after an early morning accident. I'm sure most of you have read about that. Actually, he was on our show back in February of last year when we went to Wellington and Emily and I did a live show from ringside. He was one of the guests on the show. I remember him. He's a super nice guy. I remember him talking about having 60 horses in his operation, and we talked about how he handled all of that. He was in the car with Sophie Walker on the way back from a party, apparently crashed into a concrete pillar, and they both died. She died instantly, and he died later on in the day. She was an amateur rider herself and is married to a professional rider by the name of Brian Walker. They operated Woodside Farm out of Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida. And Rodriguez actually was a silver medalist in the Pan Am Games last year and quite well known down in the Wellington community and the hunter jumper world. He was married in December to Clementine Guttall, who we've had the Guttalls on the show here before as well. And I know Emily knew both of them and was friends with Rodriguez. And so we give our hugs and our thoughts and prayers to everybody affected by this and their families and their friends and the whole jumper community down in Wellington. Our deepest condolences go out to all of them. Well, Jennifer, what is on today's show?
Coming up on today's kind of sort of about jumping S Equestrian Tuesday edition, keeping with Emily's habit of packing the show with guests, we will take a direct flight to Darley Newman from Equitrekking, who's got some new stuff coming up. And then it's a sprint across the terminal to see Isabella D'Souza and Rebecca Walters, who came in first and second in the show jumping division at this year's Thoroughbred Makeover in Lexington, Kentucky. And then taking the last bus towards home, newly hatched jockey Callie Francois stops by to tell us about her first win. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. Well, let's not keep them waiting, Jamie. You've been teasing this big announcement forever. The auditors had a blast with this yesterday, taking guesses at what was going to what your big announcement was, and there were some wild ones and some not so wild ones over there.
Yes, George Morris is not moving in with me.
Yeah, apparently, we had him living in your bedroom.
It's not going to happen. So I've been hemming and hawing, trying to figure out a way to tell everybody this. I thought yesterday telling you guys I was getting a Mustang was pretty big, but apparently it was not good enough. So I just to jump right in, I got a phone call. If you guys remember when we started the show, I had a warm blood named Demir, and I'd had him for at least 10 years. And I got him when he was 3, and I just couldn't keep him sound for training level eventing even. So I sold him to a really nice woman who lives in Fountain Hills, Arizona. Her name is Bev Kaufman.
Are we going back to the beginning of our show 5 years ago?
I'm going to skip through it real quick. No, okay. we actually had...
No, what I mean is that what is that... You said when we first started, that was
you said
all those
you weren't going to interrupt me.
Oh, sorry.
You love it, don't you, Jen? So we actually had Bev on to talk about her daughter, who is Madison and rode in the Mongol Derby. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So I've kept in touch with them. I see them at horse shows. I see my old guy. I go visit him every 4 to 6 months. You know, he's just was such a lifetime horse of mine. And, you know, and I've told them that when he retires, I'll take him back. So she called me the other day and I was like, oh, no, I'm not ready to take him back yet. And Chad was like, well, what are we going to do? So I called her back and she was not about that. She actually said that she is close. She and her daughter can't find any good help at their barn. So they're closing their boarding stable. And they have always had some really nice mares, and they breed their own babies, and they show and compete them. They have a barn full of their own horses that they've bred, and they just don't have time to show any of them. And so she's kicking out all her boarders. She's like, all we do is muck stalls, so I'm getting rid of a bunch of my horses, or at least all of the boarders are leaving. And she's just like, I just want to ride. But, you know, I always show with you, and she actually used this term, and she does not listen to this show. She's like, you're always that girl. You're always, and I was like, she must listen, but nope, she doesn't. She's like, you're always the one who's riding the difficult one. And her daughter does too. But she's like, you're always the one who's riding the crazy. And
we thought it was just us calling you that.
No, it's just a lifestyle of mine, I guess. But she said, I would really like to make an offer to you. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Yeah. Still don't want my horse back. Not yet. Give me a couple years. So she says, I have some really, really nice broodmares, and I'd like to offer you one of them. I'm thinking, I'm not taking a dang broodmare. And she's like, I'd like to offer you, I don't want to sell them because I love all my horses. I don't want them to leave. I'd like to offer you a broodmare. Take the mare, breed her, get a baby, in a year and a half, give the mare back to me. I'm like, okay, thank you very much for that offer, but I don't breed horses.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll see if I can help you find somebody. So Chad comes home. He's like, did you talk to Bev? Is she giving us Demure back? And I was like, no, she actually like offered me a broodmare. And we're not talking like Craigslist broodmares. We're talking like Dutch warm bloods and super fancy, accomplished show mares. And she offered me a broodmare to take and breed and get a baby out of and then give her the broodmare back. And you know what my husband said? He goes, absolutely, you're doing that. I was like, wait. No, I'm not. Like, that's crazy. He's like, honey, you're 38. You get a baby next year. You're 39. A warm blood, how long does it take to ride him? I was like, about 3 years. He's like, you're 41, 42. He's like, you're showing it at 45. He's, when are you ever going to do this? Ever. I was like, never, never going to do that. He's like, think about it. This is actually the perfect time. He's like, by the time we move to Oklahoma, you'll have a horse you're ready to show. I'm like, wait a second. I could have like this unbelievably fancy, amazing horse that I raise from, I see born and I raise from a baby and I get to keep it. And thinking about like the age that I will be, you know, I'll be 70 when this baby is gone, you know, like it actually sounds kind of fun. So in an answer to all of you that were guessing online yesterday, yes, I'm having a baby.
I just got a message from one of our listeners. Oh my God, Jamie is going to have a baby.
I'm going to have a baby. Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Mama.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The most important kind of baby. So what I need help with you guys is I have a mare. She's half. I've gone over Christmas. I went to her house and I picked the mare that I want. And she's like, you know, and what I've been reading is, you know, this is not a horse that's going to be on Craigslist for $500. You know, this is like this baby's born and it's worth 10 grand.
Is it already bred?
No.
No. Okay.
No, there's just a open broodmare. Her name is Surprise. She's a half Dutch warm blood, half thoroughbred.
And she's going to live at your place?
No.
Okay.
This gets even more convoluted. Oh. Is she had these two amazing mares for me to choose from, both very accomplished, and my student is going to take the other mare. So she's going to live down at her house up until she foals, I guess. And so basically I have this open broodmare and I need to pick a very awesome, fancy stallion to breed to my mare to produce my dream horse. I get to produce my dream horse.
So one you're telling me that you have to now pick a stud, which is every woman's dream. That's what you have to do right now.
Oh my gosh, that's all I've been doing. Warmbloodstallionsna.com. Like, I've been pouring over these horses. So I need y'all's help.
Is that because of what you're doing, you don't need to do live cover, which is nice. So that takes some of the hassle out, right?
You remember when I worked at the, but when you met me, I was a vet tech.
Yeah.
When you hired me, I was a vet tech at a local hospital, and it's one of the only board certified reproduction vets, is like 12 minutes from my house. So with all of that, like, I'm like, it just kind of working out to be super easy. And where I thought I'd get complaints is, you know, I always say geld.
Yeah.
Don't worry. This sucker will be gelded. But, you know, budgeting and everything, trying to figure out, you know, how I'm going to do this. I got the mare's name is Pink. That's what everybody calls her. And in my stocking for Christmas, I got this little pink My Little Pony, and it said, you get your own, pick your stud fee. And it was my Christmas gift from Chad was to, he's going to take care of the stud fee and encourage me. And he's like, get whatever you want. He's like, I don't want you to try to, because he knows me and I'll try to get a discount. He's like, I don't want you to save, you know, $300 by picking one over another. He's like, I want you to pick what you want, your best dream horse. This stallion.
You should marry that guy.
I should marry that guy. So Bev says, you know, breed your baby, keep the mare. When the mare's weaned, when the baby's weaned, just send me the mare back. She didn't want to sell it. She didn't want to get rid of it. She didn't want to unload it. She didn't want to sell me a horse. She just wanted to gift this to me. It's one less stall she has to clean, or two now, because I got her other mare a home down the street. So three properties down, I'm going to watch a mare with the stallion of my choice grow a baby in her womb, and then I'm going to deliver the baby, and then I'm going to have the baby. Do you guys realize how long I'm going to be able to entertain you with this?
Yeah, I was just thinking that, actually. That's the co-host in me was going, oh, that's going to be great for...
Yeah, like, I have to pick a horse.
We get another 5 years out of that baby.
Oh my God, can you imagine? Like, and then I have to, you know, take it in and do all the repro stuff. I don't know anything. Even though I worked at this vet clinic, I didn't do any of the repro stuff. So I don't know what I'm doing. I have no clue. The whole having a baby thing, even as a human, is really gross. Like, the whole...
I got to tell you, though, I'm going to say this. Every horse owner should have a baby at one point or another. We had a couple of them that we homebred, actually. A couple of our ponies we bred with a stallion that we happened to get in for resale. And that was the most, everybody should experience that. We delivered them ourselves. We pulled the little feet out, the whole thing. And I think everybody, I'm so excited for you. Jennifer did. I hid in the corner and cried.
Yeah.
Everybody should experience that. I'm so excited for you. I think every horse owner should have to do that once.
Oh my gosh. I'm so you know, like you've got, I've got this merit. Her grandfather is won the gold medal in the Atlanta Olympics. His name was Juice de Pomme.
Are these eventing horses? Is that, were they?
This mare excelled in the hunter jumper world and she evented. So she did hunter jumper and eventer. And that's what these guys do is they are kind of the upper scale of all the competitions, you know? And so this mare was injured at some point, tore a tendon. So that's why she retired to be a broodmare. So her grandsire is Juice de Pomme, a horse that won the gold medal in the Olympic Games in Atlanta as a jumper. So she's got amazing jumper bloodlines already.
Maybe she can teach Thor.
Right. And then so I've been trying to think of, like, you know, the age that I'm going to be by the time I'm actually kind of showing this horse. I'm probably going to lean more towards dressage as far as wanting a accomplished dressage horse. So I'm trying to look at like really fancy dressage stallions. And of course I'm online and I'm like, oh my God, this horse Negro is amazing. He's amazing. Oh yeah, that's Vallegro's daddy, and it's $2,000 a pop, and there's no guarantee. Like, we can't go that crazy, people. Like, don't get nuts. Like, of course I picked, like, Vallegro's daddy. I didn't even know. It's like, oh, by the way, this is Vallegro's daddy. Like, of course I like that one, of course.
Yeah, that guarantee is kind of important.
Yeah, and so the stipulations that I've set on myself is it has to be a live foal guarantee. You know, I don't want to spend $8,000 on four different, you know, inseminations. This is a proven broodmare. She's gotten pregnant for the past 4 years. So that's why they wanted to send her away for you. They're like, we're done breeding. We've got all these horses to train and ride and show. So basically that's what's going to happen is I'm going to pick a baby daddy. I need your help. Y'all help me pick a baby daddy. I don't know anything about this. So apparently it doesn't matter what, I'm not going to like 100-day stallion test this thing or like probably even register it. You get a birth certificate and that's all you really need. It's not like I'm gonna have a
mare. Well, you know, American Pharoah's available now.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it will not be a reason.
But then you'd have to ship them to Kentucky or ship her to Kentucky and, you know, you'd have that hassle. And yeah.
So I started thinking, like, American Pharoah style. I'm like, well, what horses is she qualified to breed to? Because in the thoroughbred world, you can, like the horses that are mares that are going to go to American Pharoah are amazing mares.
Right.
So they have to have a lot. And there's no limit. I could breed my backyard pony to Vallegro's daddy if I had the money. So it just, it doesn't matter. I can pick any breed. I can pick any warm blood. And I just want to pick something. My girlfriend is like, the main thing you want to go for is temperament. Because I don't want to have the crazy baby.
Yeah.
I want to have.
You've done that before.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't need more of the same.
Well,
I want something.
I will tell you that I will keep this handy.
I don't want to be that girl. Girl, that
girl, that girl. For the next 5 years, I will keep that handy.
My girlfriend did this. Go ahead.
We're thinking about, now, what kind of personality does the mare have?
Oh my gosh. This is why I picked her. She is the sweetest, kindest, most gentle thing. Bev rode her in the show jumping and eventing world. And Bev is more of a amateur rider, and this mare Pink, that's why I picked this mare, is I showed with her when I was riding Demure. The reason that she bought Demure for me was to replace Pink because she was kind of had this catastrophic injury. She is a super gentle packer, took care of this woman. That's why I really liked her. So that's why I picked her. She's very calm. Now, what I would like to say to all of you that are already messaging me with baby daddies, I would like it to be a colt, and I would like it to be Chestnut with four white socks and a blaze. So put that in your search.
All right. Well, congratulations. We'll talk more about this. I'm so excited. As I said, I just think everybody should have a baby at some point. Everybody should have to, you know, have to hug a baby. I think it's a cool thing, and it's a cool thing to watch them grow up and to help them grow up. So I am very excited for you.
In the auditor world, Ruby Kaufman wins because she said I was going to get a foal to train. So
there you go. There you go. Good job.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I guessed that you were going to do the Mustang Millions with your new Mustang that you're picking up, and I still think you should do that too. So that's just my opinion, because the baby's not going to be ready. You'll be done with the Mustang Millions by the time the baby pops.
And so. That's the thing is that this, while the mare is growing the foal in utero, I'll have this, excuse me, Mustang to train and get ready for kids to show.
And so, the Mustang Millions. So I'm just saying.
Okay. I don't think makeover. He qualifies if they're prison trained. But carry on.
All right. Let's talk to our first guest. I have a little preview here for you. I almost feel like I have to get nervous talking to her anymore. She's such a big celebrity now. We've had her on the show probably the last 5 years. Emmy Award-winning Darlie Newman of Equitrekking. She has a new show coming out and to PBS and also other streaming outlets around the internet. And she's all over the place now. AOL, MSN, Amazon. She's on the Weather Channel, Huffington Post, all kinds of places. But here she has a new show. Let's take a listen.
It's dramatic up here.
Our team from the Emmy-winning Equitrekking series is showing you our world as you've never seen it, through the lives and eyes of the locals who know it best.
Yeah, exactly.
Get a fresh perspective from people you'll love.
I think I'm done.
Absolutely.
What's up?
On the destinations you thought you knew, immerse yourself in our world with our new series, Travels with Darlie.
Well, that's right. She has a new series coming out. The superstar, Darlie Newman. Hey, Darlie.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Jamie. How are you guys?
Good.
Hey, Darlie.
Now, we always said that you had the dream job that every horsewoman in the world wanted, and that you got to travel around, you know, riding horses all over the place. Now you just have the dream job that every person in the world wants, and that's just getting to travel around and do cool things all over the world in general. So congratulations for that.
You know, I just wanted to expand a little on that.
Well, you wanted to add, judging by the previews, I watched a whole bunch. By the way, I sucked up an hour watching previews for all your episodes. And I just think that you wanted to add eating a lot of food to that, is what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have been eating my way around the world for the past year as we filmed this. I mean, I know all the barbecue spots in the USA if anyone has any questions.
What a cool job. You have taken something that was really niche, you know, in the horse world, Equitrekking. I mean, it is niche. Yes, it was going out on PBS, but it's niche, right? And you expanded that into an empire.
Well, I mean, Equitrekking is still going, but the thing about it is, like, when we were doing Equitrekking, we're always meeting these cool horses, but cool people as well. And we're kind of just expanding on that with Travels with Darlie, because it's really, you know, the people on our episodes are just normal people doing their normal everyday thing, but they've always been so great. So that's what we decided to do with this new show. It's me, again, traveling with regular locals and, you know, seeing the area through their eyes. And I just think that's the best way to travel, because we've seen it, you know, it's been popular with Equitrekking. So, yeah, why not go into some restaurants and try some other adventure things? And the eating has definitely been adventurous as well.
What's a guy what's his name that eats the bizarre foods? Is that going to be you?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm not going there. I like to eat the good food.
Okay, good. All right. Just checking. What led to this? I know you've been doing some travel updates on the Weather Channel, right?
Yeah, I've gone on the Weather Channel on the Today Show. I've been writing as a contributing editor to Budget Travel Magazine and writing more general travel pieces as well. And just, yeah, I just really wanted to expand because, I mean, Equitrekking's been so popular and we just didn't even know that it would be that popular. And I just thought, wow, I mean, let's reach people and the touch points that, I mean, in Equitrekking, we're covering food, culture, and adventure as well. So just delving a little bit deeper into that and also getting into some cities. Which has been interesting. Like, we did Brussels, but we're doing things in a different way in each episode. Like, in Brussels, we biked through Brussels. You'll still see us moving right along, Glenn.
Oh, so you'll see, what we'll see is Darlie huffing and panting and about to die as she's going up those hills in Brussels.
I know. I'm like, where are the horses?
Well, you know, Samantha Brown must have been somebody you watched for years leading up to this.
I watched Samantha Brown. I watched Rick Steves. I watch every travel show out there. I mean, I love travel. I think it's always when you're planning a trip, it's something you can really look forward to. I mean, you're learning as you're planning it. And then you go on the trip and you have this amazing experience. And I feel like you learn so much. And I don't know, it just makes your life better. And meeting people around the world makes your life better. So I'm just trying to keep that up.
How do you find the people when you're going to Brussels and you want to find ordinary people to really, you know, show you the local spots, right? So how do you find that? How do you, you know, where do you start?
Well, it's a lot of times we work through people we know in different places. We work through the tourism boards. We work through restaurants we know about. We put a lot of like chefs on camera in this new series. And even like I did street food in the Guadalupe Islands, and you've just got, you know, the lady that works there making, you know, her different, they're called buckets, these gigantic sandwiches that have been around forever on the islands, and they're special there. They fry the bread that comprises the sandwich. They're actually really good. But I'm just, yeah, I'm kind of just talking with people as we go. And then, you know, when we find good people, we try to keep them longer. We're like, oh, what are you doing this afternoon? Oh, would you mind showing me this or that? So they get a bigger role.
And I don't think people realize how much, you know, unlike us who, you know, do our hour and a half and we're done and, you know, what it is, right? But you guys, I mean, you'll film how much film for that 1 minute of good footage on the show?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, definitely each episode is probably about 5 days of filming for a half hour.
Wow.
So we get a lot of footage, but that's why we've been doing a lot more on the web as well, because we always have extra stuff. So we've been, you know, cutting those up into shorter clips, which are a whole different breed for the online audience as well, because, you know, shorter attention spans and all that kind of stuff. So we have some funny things like World's Weirdest Museums. It's done really well on AOL. And, you know, best places, most unusual restaurants in the USA. So fun stuff like that that we're putting together for, you know, online viewing as well.
Now, you won an Emmy for single camera shooting. Is that the way you're going with this series, or are you doing multiple or what?
We actually have the same crew for Equitrekking that we have for Travels with Darley. So,
which is your husband?
Team. My husband and our Greg Barna, our director of photography, he actually has been requesting horses too. So we're going to mix some more Equitrekking back in this year again. And we did some Equitrekking episode work this year as well. We went to Aiken. We were in Middleburg. And then we just happened upon horse stuff, of course, when we're filming for Travels with Darley. So you'll see a little of that in the show, like on Assateague Island, the wild horses, which are just amazing. So different things like that. But yeah, it's our exact same crew, same team. You know, we can't mix it up too much because we travel so well together. That's a big part of it.
Well, and you know, it worked before. Why change it, right?
We love it. Yeah, no, it's been an adventure. Like, we were down in the Caribbean filming for this new show. We, you know, in Belgium, obviously, and just all over the USA. So really diverse places.
Well, it's called Travels with Darley, and it's starting on PBS right now, right? I looked at our local PBS, and it hasn't hit yet, but it's coming, right?
It's coming, yeah. It's starting, so we have a lot of great time slots, a lot of prime time slots, including in LA. Sorry, guys, it's too early.
I got you, girl.
She films in the afternoon.
I know, right? I know. But yeah, so it'll be trickling out in the next couple of months, and then you'll find it on your local PBS station. But in some of the major markets, we're already on in great time slots. So people should just look on our website, travelswithdarley.com, because we're listing them as we get them in.
I want to know, like, when you won the lottery at birth to be, like, on this plane of going to have the most amazing jobs back to back to back. Like, you not only have the one amazing job, now you have two, and you figured out a way to do it with your family. I mean, just incredible how you've managed to do all this. And you're so accomplished, and you're an Emmy winner. And you still talk to us, too, which is really crazy.
That's what I said when I emailed her. Are you still talking to us?
I was enjoying the listening in on the conversation before I came on about, you know, what's happening next for you, Jamie. That was hilarious.
Well, I figure of anybody in the whole wide world, can I just name drop a little bit and like be like, I know Darlie Newman, so can I get, you know, a discount?
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll have some more travel discounts.
Yeah, I don't know if Darlie's going to get you a discount in the stud world. She might if you're going to a dude ranch in Oklahoma, but I don't know if she's going to get you a discount on a stud.
You know, Darlie is the one who did recommend the place that I went in Spain.
Oh, that's
to
right.
To go ride Andalusians. Yes. And so Darlie and I have a little bit of a relationship. So one of my friends immediately was like, are you going to go breed to one of those Andalusians in Spain? I was like, well, I don't think the mare is quite compatible for that. If I'm going to get an Andalusian, it's going to be full on 100%. So I will still be calling you about that horse later in the future.
They have wonderful horses there at Epona. I loved visiting there. I could definitely, it's cold here now. I'm in the DC area and it's gotten cold all of a sudden. And I'm like, I could be in Southern Spain right now. Hanging out with the Andalusians. That sounds pretty nice.
I think you need to make your way back there. And if you need somebody to carry your bags, ma'am, here I am.
Is there an Emmy for that bag carrier? Yeah.
There's so many good places. That's the thing. Like, there's so many. And I think there's interestingly new places that'll be developing in the equestrian world as the years go on, too. I went down to Colombia, South America, a couple of months ago and rode briefly in coffee country where they have all the coffee farms and they've got a bunch of pasasinos there. And they haven't really totally developed their equestrian tourism yet. There are a couple of places. But I thought it was interesting because like some of the farms that I visited, which were really nice, they're like, oh, we want to start horseback riding vacations here. I was like, look, you should do it.
Yeah.
I was like, because it was so beautiful and it's such a good way to get around there because it's mountainous. So yeah,
sorry,
we'll see. I think it'll be interesting to see.
Riding pasofinos through the coffee plantations, I'm in.
Yeah. And you have a different, you have coffee in your thermos instead of water. Yeah. So yeah. That's good.
Genius.
And it's super fresh.
And it's fresh. Yeah, exactly.
That's how those suckers go so fast.
Yeah, that's right.
I know, right? Yeah, seriously.
Darlie, where can people learn more?
They can go to travelswithdarlie.com and check out previews for episodes, read some fun stuff about where we've been, and see some times for upcoming schedules.
And we'll put that in the show notes as well. And also, Jennifer will put a link to it on our Facebook page, Travels with Darlie. It's always a pleasure. We're so glad after all these years. You've been coming on since we started the show 5 years ago. And we thank you for continuing to come on now that you're a superstar celebrity.
Oh, no. Thanks for having me. It's always fun to talk to you guys.
All right. We'll see you, Darlie.
We love you, Darlie.
Good luck with it.
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. She was a superstar when she came on the first time, Glenn.
Yeah, she was actually an Emmy Award winner then, I think.
Yeah, she was.
What a cool... I mean, there's how to make your life what you want it to be, right?
Gosh,
how cool
awesome.
Is that?
Well, and she's just so darn cute and personable and interesting and just a pleasure to watch. So, cool. I can't wait.
I had to do a 1 minute video yesterday for a promo for the PodFest that I'm doing end of February. And it sucked. It took us 12 takes. I can't do video. That's too hard. Video's hard.
I'm like that the Will Ferrell character in the movie where he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
And exactly.
My hands like floating around my
That's what
floating.
I was doing. I was going, I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know how to sit. It was too stressful. Here we can show up in our pajamas. We just talk. It's so easy.
Somebody who didn't show up in their pajamas, she showed up with her finest, was Isabella D'Souza. She was on Dewey Square for the Thoroughbred Makeover, and she actually was, we were so excited to talk to her. We've had her on the show before because it was such an interesting story on how she got hooked up with Dewey Square, Dewey. And we just wanted to touch base with her because not only she got basically the big Horses in the Morning pat on the back before. And you know what? She won the whole damn thing. How about that? We would like to say hello to Isabella. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. Give everybody a little bit of background on you and Dewey.
Well, Dewey and I, we've been working together since May. That's when we really first started working. But Dewey he's about 16'2". He's a 6-year-old this year. He's a gelding, and his personality is like the sweetest personality you will ever meet. He's not goofy all the time, but he's not serious. He's just that sweet horse that kind of in your face, but he'll realize when to back off. He's just a really great horse.
And he raced, right?
Yes, he did. He had 13 starts. He was first in two of his races. He was second in one. He had 3/3, I think. And he earned about 103,000, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. But he was on the Derby trail because he was a graded stakes place horse.
Mm-hmm.
So he was on the Derby trail, and then they decided to give him to us.
So, yeah, from what I remember, the owners are really wonderful, responsible thoroughbred racehorse owners, and they found out about you. You wanted to do the Retired Racehorse Project, and so they handed him over, basically.
Yeah.
So wonderful. So how was the training process?
It was really good. It was really smooth. Like, we didn't have a lot of things that came in our way. Since he's a really quick learner, he if he did make a little mistake, the next time you taught him, he'd be like, okay, I get this, and he'd do it right. He's not one of those horses that he's really like bad about him. He's just like willing to learn all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he was did he start out? I mean, some of the racehorses are so tough and so easy, you know, to deal with, and some are quite spooky. Where did he fall in that range?
He wasn't really spooky, and he wasn't really like nervous, and he wasn't really like quick. He was just trying to figure out what was going on at first, because you know, when you get them in a program, they're much better, and once they understand what they're doing, they'll be much better about it. So at first he was a little bit like, what are we doing? And then once we started getting him in a program, he realized what he was doing, and he got better and better about it.
Now, you competed him in the show jumper division, and won out of 43 entries. Did you have somebody that kind of helped you along the way? Because, you know, you are kind of young, you know, all of us have a little help.
Yeah, my dad was one of the biggest helps. He was there day in, day out. He helped me set jumps. He helped me ride Dewey when I couldn't ride him sometimes. Like, he was always there. And he'd take him places. Like, he'd trailer him to the horse park. He'd trailer him to my trainer's farm. He was one of my biggest supporters in it. And it was pretty awesome having him there.
So what was that, by the way, that's just awesome. If everybody had dad support like that with horses, I think I think a lot of us are jealous. The makeover, tell us about that.
It was really a great experience. I want to do it again. It's one of those experiences where it's just really neat to see all of these thoroughbreds that came off the track less than a year, maybe even a month ago. You know, just like, they come together and they just show how versatile they are with some training. Like, it's just, to me, it was just amazing to see some of these horses climbing up stairs, doing barrel racing and doing polo, doing show jumping, like just seeing them being able to do that transformation. It was amazing.
Now, you live in Lexington, and had you ever, going to the horse park is always such an incredible experience, but I just can't imagine how awesome the camaraderie was between everybody, all thoroughbreds, all there for the same thing. And it's just to show off the breed. Was it kind of a different feel from other horse park events?
Yeah, it did. It was a lot of the horse park events. You know, they have a certain time schedule, like they have your division and everything. This one was more laid back than I've been at one, like than what I've experienced before. They weren't in a big rush. They just wanted you to show your horse off. They just wanted to get in there and just have you go around. You know, there wasn't very high expectations. So it was very different, but I really liked it.
It just seemed like such a fun event to go to. Now, when you are, you came in first out of 43, how many rounds did you have to do? How high were you jumping? What was the show like?
Well, so we had two rounds before the finale, but you didn't really, it was just kind of like the same as any jump around. I mean, it was pretty laid back about it because you had your two rounds, and then you'd have to do like a 1 minute flat lengthening, shortening, just to show off what your horse can do. And you go on your course, and then the second round wasn't like that. It was just your course. But I feel that T6 because I'm at the stage where I feel higher than that, but I wanted to show off to you what level, if I made a mistake, he could jump well at, and he could do pretty well. So if I did 3 foot and I made a mistake, I didn't know how it was going to go because we jump more 2.6 than we have at 3 feet. So I just wanted to put him in a comfortable level so I could make a mistake and he'd be okay with it.
Well, and that's also a very reasonable height for a horse that just came off the racetrack. You know, you don't want to, and they did a really good job with that too. It wasn't like they were showing, 4.5 foot jumpers at this thing. These horses aren't conditioned to jump that high. So I think you did made a good decision. Did they go any higher than 3 foot, the levels?
I think in the jumpers, they went up to 3.3, but in the hunters, which I did too in the 2.6, they only went up 50 foot.
Gotcha. Okay. Now the question of the hour is, did you keep Dewey? Do you still have him?
I wish. He's being turned out for this winter as a break, and then he's going to go to his new owners as an event horse next year.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. Yeah, no kidding. Was it hard to part with him, or did you feel like you did the right thing?
I think I did the right thing because they're really sweet people. It's actually the people that gave him to us. They bought him back for their grandson to show.
Oh, wow.
And he's a 14-year-old junior like me. So I think it'll be a great match for him.
Okay, so they give you this horse and they bought him back. That's it.
Did everybody just hear what she said? By the way, a 14-year-old junior like me. So in case you hadn't put two and two together, you're only 14?
Yeah.
I see a big career together in the future for you.
That's so great. Are you going to do it again?
Yes, we have a horse for this year. So hopefully we will be competing in it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you got big shoes to fill with Dewey, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I think he can do it too. He's a great one too.
Who's your new one so we can keep an eye out for him?
His name is Kari Hilo. He's from Sienna Farm as well. He just got done racing, so we have turned him out for the winter with our other retired racehorse. And then we're going to do the same thing, bring him back in May.
And that's awesome. David Pope's farm, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
Awesome. That's so great. Well, congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
Congratulations on winning and congratulations on... I have told Glenn repeatedly that I do not want to interview teenagers or kids on this show because they're very difficult to talk to. And I literally felt like I was talking to somebody like in their 20s. That was you're just so well put together. Obviously, you come from a great family. You are trusted by horse owners around Lexington. So... first of all, congratulations on working so hard and being such an accomplished young rider. Congratulations and good luck with your next one.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's Isabella D'Souza. We'll be seeing her name in the future, I think, all across the jumping world. You know, there were 43 entries and not all, I bet you she was one of the youngest ones there.
Well, that's just incredible to be 14 years old and to go.
And doesn't
there and
that make you a little sick thinking you could have done that? You wish you had been that accomplished at 14.
I don't want to talk about what I was doing at 14. My God.
When she said 14, it took me by surprise because I really thought she was 18 or 19.
I thought she was 18. I did too. And you know what? That just goes to show you how unbelievably accomplished you can be. Wonderful girl. Love it. Yep.
Very cool. Well, you are listening to Horses in the Morning. This is a special Tuesday edition because Emily Thompson, who normally does the jumping episode, is not here. And she would have loved that conversation.
Oh, my gosh. She would love to talk to her, I'm sure. So,
but let's give her a little love here with Ass Equestrian because you use the products.
Yeah. I do. If you look at the pictures of Thor, the mighty Thor, at his horse trial this past weekend, I seriously was like joking with Chad. I'm like, I'm sponsored by S Equestrian because my show shirt is S Equestrian and then my jacket is S Equestrian too. And I use it in dressage. So it's very versatile. But looking at the fabric and how nice it is, and you can, you know, when you get done with a show, you're done with dressage, you got to get dressed for something else, or you're just done wearing a show coat. It's hot outside. And yes, I know all of you, it was hot. And so I had to take the jacket off quickly. I tossed it, you know, you just kind of toss it. And I tossed it over my saddle rack. You pick it up, it looks exactly the same. It doesn't wrinkle. You can wash it in the machine. It is the most comfortable show coat ever. It's got kind of a little stretchy fabric. So when you're maybe not the same size as when you bought the show coat, it's still very forgiving. So we love S Equestrian. We love their products. You can actually, now they do these amazing custom show coats where they do custom colors. You can get like an electric blue show coat. And that's more obviously for the jumper world because you can wear basically whatever the heck you want in there as long as it's within uniform. And it is. So you can do a lime green show coat or a blue one. And they're starting to get very popular. Their purple one is gorgeous. So you can go look at that. All their show shirts, you can get them custom done that you get to choose what buttons you want down the front. I didn't even wear a stock tie because the front of the shirt is so pretty with the buttons. I didn't even need to tie that thing around my neck and choke myself out. So go check out S Equestrian. Actually has a new website, Glenn. Do you have it?
Yep, it's sequestrianco.com. sequestrianco.com.
Great products. Awesome.
Terrific. And we'll see Emily back here next month for the jumping edition. Well, we have our next guest ready, and she also competed in that same competition in Lexington, Kentucky.
Absolutely, she did. And Glenn, I'm gonna need you to take over because okay. I gotta go deal with the baby.
I got it. Well, we have Rebecca Walters coming up, and from what I hear, she is on a horse right now. She was in second place in the show jumper division, and on a horse called Feet Included, which great name, barn named Levi. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, so you're riding right now?
I am.
What are you riding right now?
I'm just riding a horse in a cross-country field, just doing a little exercise.
Well, there you go. We love, by the way, when guests come on when they're riding. That's so cool. Because what other show in the world has that happen, right? So
I know.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Levi. Now, we just talked to Isabella D'Souza, and you know about her win there in the show jumping division. And you came in second on a horse called Feet Included, which, by the way, I think is the coolest racehorse name ever. But how did you end up with Feet Included?
Funny, actually, my dad trains racehorses, and so does my uncle. And I actually got him from my uncle. Just one night, my dad went and picked him up. I was actually in Aiken at the time, and I wasn't even back in Maryland where the horse came from. But my dad liked him and put him on the trailer and said, this looks like as good a candidate as any. So he just put him on the trailer and brought him home. And so I owe it to my dad, really.
And were you in the junior division? I'm not sure how old you are, so that's why I'm asking.
No, I'm 23.
23,
I was
okay. Okay, got it. So now you took this horse home, and we asked Isabella the same question. What was training like with this one? Because we've all had thoroughbreds, and my wife used to train thoroughbreds, and we know about the thoroughbred personalities. They go the whole gambit from super quiet to not so super quiet. Where did Levi fall in that mix?
Oh, the easiest horse I've ever had to
really
train, I think. He's so wonderful. Every day he is the same when you get on him. There's nothing surprising you when you go to get on him. He's lovely.
Oh, geez. People live for a horse like that, you know? They pine after horses like that. And did you always have the idea to go into show jumping with him, or were you keeping it open to find out what he wanted to do, or what?
Yeah, I kept it open. Of course, I would have liked him to do the show jumping, but I entered in fox hunting, show hunter, and show jumper until I figured out what he'd be best at. And then it kind of took me like 2 months, I guess, to really figure out where his jumping was, and then we decided to go with show jumping.
Got it. And where do you train at?
In Maryland.
Okay.
Childsville, Maryland.
Got it. Now, are you a professional rider, or you?
No, I'm an amateur.
Amateur? Okay. And do you do the show jumping circuit? Are you an eventer? Or?
I do a little bit of everything. I do some show hunters, I fox hunt, and I do some show jumping.
Wow, cool. So now, what about the event itself? You know, we just talked to Isabel a little bit about what the park was like. What was your experience there, and what did you think having all those thoroughbreds in one place?
I thought it was great. I mean, it was really well run. It was organized, and you know, of course, it's a new event, so you don't really know what to expect. But I don't really think there was a whole lot they could have improved off of as far as. Is how it ran. I mean, it went a little bit behind some days, but that's to be expected with any show. And all the thoroughbreds were really well behaved, all the ones that I was around when I was on the horse. I mean, you never know what to expect, but it was great.
And now, did you guys get to go in the big arena? Did you get to go do it in the Rolex Arena when you were there for the finals?
No, I think we were in the Walnut Arena, okay. And then the finale was in one of the indoors.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure. Have you shown at the horse park before?
I have not. That was my first time there, and I'd love to go back.
I bet. I bet. Now, did you keep Levi?
I do. I still have him. I'm in Aiken, actually, at the moment, and he's with me in Aiken.
And what are the plans for Levi?
I don't really know yet. I'll keep showing him, and eventually I'll sell him. But I'm just sort of having fun with him now.
And now, will you keep showing him in the jumper division?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
He'll do some more show jumping here, and I'll go back up to Maryland in March, and he'll either be with me or he won't, but most likely he will.
Now, I didn't realize that that any show jumpers went to Aiken. I always thought that they were all in Ocala or Wellington for the winter. Is there a lot of show jumpings going on there in the winter?
Yeah, there is. This is only my second year here, but yeah, there's a good bit of it.
I knew the eventers went there, but I didn't know about the show jumpers.
Yeah, I came here, and there's a couple of fox hunters as well, so I'm sort of just doing a little bit of everything down here.
Now, how many horses do you have?
I only have two myself.
Well, that's enough if they're the right two, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, will you do another makeover?
I think so. I'll have to start looking for my next horse.
All right, there you go. There you go. Well, I'm so excited that we got to have you both on today. It was such a cool event. This year, I saw that they're actually opening it up to, what, 500 applications? Or what are they looking at taking?
Yeah, it's got a lot bigger. I think you're right, 500. And they've sort of done it more as a trainer competition rather than like a based on the horse itself, so I had more like a trainer challenge. But no, I think it'll be fun.
Very cool. Well, congratulations. We're so glad that you got to do that. I'm so excited for you and for everybody that was involved. We started covering that event way back in the beginning when it was 10 horses years ago.
Wow.
And look how it's grown now. So so good job, and have fun in Aiken this year.
Great, thank you.
That's Rebecca Walters. Do you have a website or anything, Rebecca, or can people find you on Facebook?
On Facebook.
On Facebook under Rebecca Walters. Thanks a bunch.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, take care. Well, there you go. Does that make you want to get a thoroughbred instead and do the makeover?
I'm about horsed out right now. I'm excited to watch everybody else do it.
Well, let maybe one of our listeners. We need one of our listeners to do it.
Yeah, seriously.
And then we can follow them along the way. Chop,
and
chop.
I, I do love the suggestions that people are giving me. I do not have the money to breed to totalists.
I thought about totalists.
That's crazy. We have to stick to somebody in the U.S. because apparently shipping that stuff over the ocean is pretty expensive. So we're going to stick with... That's the reason, by the way, I'm not getting totalists. That's the only reason.
Oh, yeah, that's the only reason. Yeah. Not to mention the $100,000 breeding fee, right?
It's like 4,000 euros.
Did Chad have any idea when he said don't worry about money how much it can cost to get, you know, to get that stuff shipped?
Well, it's funny, he was like, you know, I'm looking at these stud fees and these there's a really great, I mean, obviously like Iron Spring is one I've heard of, and there's another one, something Hill Farm. I looked up Hilltop Farm, I think.
Yep.
Amazing horses, and all of those are like, you know, at minimum like $1,800 to $2,000 for this the semen. And then I looked at him and he's like, yeah, I mean, if you're thinking like, you know, 800 and you want to go up to 1,000, that's fine. I was like,
I was wondering if he, you know, he probably didn't realize exactly what he was saying at the time.
Yeah,
was he drinking at the point, at that point, by the way?
I married so well. Let's just put it that way.
Now you should talk to Reese Coffler Stanfield though. Because that's she has bred many of her mares. So she has been in that world and will know exactly who you should take a look at.
That is a great idea. I'll talk to her as well.
Yeah, drop her an email.
I do have a friend that's a Grand Prix rider and she lives in California. And she's definitely told me the ones not to breed to. It's helpful, but not as helpful as telling me who I should breed to. But I'll have to go get her pictures and post some pictures of her later on in the day. I don't have them now.
Well, and I was just told by Jennifer that Stuart, who runs the OTTB makeover, will be on in a couple of weeks to talk about next year. So
good.
We'll get Stuart back and we can chat with him about that. And I know somebody that's putting in an application. And I think I'm allowed to mention it because she posted on Facebook yesterday. Mary Kitzmiller, who hosts here once a month, wants to do the thoroughbred thing. Now, she's been known for doing, she did the Mustang makeover. She also did Road to the Horse with the quarter horses. And now wants to do a thoroughbred. It would be her first one, I think.
She's already messaged that she would like to take Totalist and breed it to a zebra and get the ultimate dressage horse.
Did she really?
Yeah. This Totalist talk has got to stop.
Okay, that's funny. That's really funny. Well, we are going to have another guest here shortly, but I did want to, and I was going to play a song until I realized that I had to do a reset of my main computer that has all the sound files, and I don't have my songs in here.
Do you want Lucas and I to sing the ABC?
Oh, yeah, that would be great. While Jennifer's getting our next guest on, that would be terrific. I did want to mention that all the shows are back in production this week, so we will have new episodes of all the shows for you. And we appreciate everybody listening to the pre-recorded episodes we had. You mentioned yesterday that we did one. We did one on the history of Thor, and Jennifer put together all the bits and pieces of that, and I put together all the bits and pieces of that, and Jennifer put together one on Scooter, and and it got a lot of good response. But I actually listened to the beginning of that one, which I, you know, don't usually do either. And I'll tell you what, I forgot that Wendy was on a Friday, and that was during that show. Jennifer had sent me the Craigslist ads, and I happened to see it during the show, and I brought it up to Wendy, how Jennifer sent me these Craigslist ads, about a couple of ponies for sale, and said we should go look at them this weekend. And then Wendy chimed in and said, yes, you should. Go look at them this weekend. I did not remember that all happened on the show.
Oh my gosh. See, is it going to make you want another pony? Like listening to Thor's recap show made me want another Mustang. It's all your fault. All these horses are your fault.
I did that. In that case, that was Jennifer's fault.
That Thor thing was all your fault.
That was kind of my fault.
The auction next week, and now it's like, I'm going to replay that segment, and then, oh my God, the auction's next month. I'm going.
Yeah, I really didn't expect. I just was talking about it. It was a news story. I didn't really expect you to go.
I'm like, I've got an empty stall.
By the way, after having 8 horses and now down to 6, I got to tell you, I feel like there's nobody out there. I need more.
You know what? I told you, what's the magic number with horses? 7. The magic number is 7. Once you go over 7, it's a ton more work. Am I right or wrong?
I think it starts at 7. 6 is easy. By the way, I didn't even tell you this. Jet, my dear, blessed, amazing horse that I had for a long time, actually, his owner, like me, got pregnant. And so now she's moved Jet right next to her house. So Jet finally left over the Christmas break. So finally, he's actually just living the life.
So now you have 2 empty stalls is what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. 6 horses seems like nothing after having
Jet,
who was a nightmare, and then Norman, who ate everything.
If you get 2 at the auction with the in Mustang land, then you're going to have to enter the Mustang makeover because there's prize money involved. And that's the only way you're going to get that by your husband. So
I'm just saying. Absolutely.
All right, let's go to our next guest. You know, she started with us years and years and years ago as our adopted bug, which means that she was a jockey in training. We can't call her that anymore. I think we can officially call her a jockey now. Callie Francois is on with us. Hi, Callie.
Hi. Well, I'm still technically a bug, and make me look so old. When
it was years. It was 20 years ago she came on with us.
I think you're exaggerating a little bit.
So you're still a bug? When do you become unbugged?
I become unbugged when it's a year after I win my 5th race. So that happened mid-November.
You've won 5 now? Or your first race?
I've won 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Yay! I did not know that. Congratulations, girl.
Well, hey, thanks, Glenn.
That's terrific. So you have to. It's a year after you've won your fit. So you got till November.
Yes.
Yay! So
then
what?
I will be debugged.
What does that mean when you become debugged? Is it just a term thing, or does it actually mean something money wise and otherwise?
Actually, we just came up with this term about 20 seconds ago. The debugging.
Yes.
but no, I mean basically, you're just a bug is kind of a given name, layaway for an apprentice rider. So
right. The
nickname started on the overnight. So this is when the entries first come out. It'll name the name of the horse, the name of the trainer, and the name of the jockey on the entry form. So, and next to the jockey, just to denote an apprentice, it'll have an asterisk next to it. So you either, it's 5, a 7, or a 10 pound bug. So you'll either have 1, 2, or 3 asterisks next to your name. So I used to have 3, but then once I won 5, I get down from a 10 pound to a 7 pound apprentice. So right now I have 2 little bugs next to my name. So they call them bugs, and then the name just stuck with it.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. Well, where are you at now? Where are you riding at this point?
I'm at Laurel. I'm in Maryland right now.
Okay. And will you stay there, or will you travel this year like you have in the past years?
It always depends what races get offered, what mounts get offered to you and what comes up. But right now, definitely, the plan is Laurel.
Okay. And do you like it there?
Yeah, it's great. I love it here. Absolutely. Great area to live. I'm just north of, actually, I'm just northwest of the track itself.
And Laurel's in, where is Laurel? What cities is it?
Laurel is dead smack in between BC and Baltimore.
Okay, got it. So now do you travel up? You're not too far from Pimlico then. Do you travel up to there, or could you travel up to there if there were rides?
I was just there this morning.
Right, really? Yeah, because that's...
It's not bad. It's only about half an hour drive.
Very cool. So are you liking this? I mean, this is what you've lived for. You went to school for this to be a jockey in Kentucky. And so are you liking it?
Yeah, I'm digging it so far right now. It's not a bad gig, not at all. Riding horses, you know, fast around in circles. That's my thing. So it's working out for me right now.
You were in a, we should mention to everybody who has not followed you, we have a lot of new listeners, that you really did come on with us when you were still in school. I think we had you on the first time.
I did, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was still in Christmas school. I was still in the academy when we started out. So yeah, definitely.
And then you were on a venture before that. So you've always liked to go fast and jump high and do things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that has always been my thing.
Now, you know, we talked about this too when you were first doing this, and I think you talked about this while you were in, you know, Chris McCarron's school there in jockey school, that you really are entering a man's world. Now, I think there are some pioneers that have led the way here recently that are helping to change that. Does it still seem like a man's world?
Kind of a little bit, but not so much. It's still a little bit there, but it's not as bad as I imagined it once was. It's starting to change. To be completely honest, I have run into some trainers who, the problem is girls get a bad rap for not being as strong as a guy, as you've probably seen with the whole Michelle Payne thing, winning the Melbourne Cup.
Right.
And the whole AP McCoy, you know, backlash. I've only run into the situation a couple times where it's the fact that I'm a bug girl, and it's never the trainer's issue. It's always the owner. And the thing is, you can't be frustrated about it, because that's their folly, because I am as strong as any guy out there, and the trainers know. The trainers, they know better, and they're just like, listen, I ran into a trainer where he was like, listen, I want to ride you, but right now, you know, I had a bug girl ride for me, and she didn't give me a great ride, so now that I don't know, it's kind of, you know, burned out with, you know, A, apprentices, and B, girl apprentices. So sometimes it's like with anything. It's like with any competition / business setting. So for the most part, I'm not being looked at as a girl rider. I'm starting to be looked at as a rider, which is great.
Well, that's terrific. And, you know, that could have happened, though, if it was a guy apprentice, you know, and he just decided, you know, that wasn't his thing. I think that, you know, that kind of thing. You've had some, I think it's fortunate that you're going in now, because you have had some trailblazers, and Julie Crone and Rosie Dupravnik and Chantel Sutherland and all of them now, who have really made big names for themselves and are really out there, you know, as the face of female jockeys going, yeah, we can do this. And they're getting a lot of publicity and a lot of play, and that's got to help you a little bit, I would think.
I think it does help. I mean, anything. Honestly, anything helps, because it is still there. It needs to be. It's there enough where it's still getting addressed, and that's an issue. It's just annoying, really.
Yeah, you know, and those of us that know you know that you're one tough chick, and that's not going to be a concern as far as whether you're tough enough to be a jockey.
Kind of what I was thinking is she's going to be a jockey until she's at least, you know, in her 50s, because she's so tough. And then you're going to take over for Donna Brothers, because she's going to be retired. And then you're going to be the jockey that's on the horses after the races, you know, galloping around talking to Victor Espinosa after American Pharoah wins a Triple Crown. That could be you.
Well, I don't know. Well, you never know what life is going to throw at you. So, but I do have. That's a pretty stiff competition, because I've gotten a good friend who actually, she's about the same age as me. Her name is Gabby Gaudette. You can follow her on Twitter. She was the analyst. She grew up in the industry, and her dad was a great trainer in Maryland. And she grew up in the industry, and she started a couple years ago being the paddock analyst at Laurel, and now she's just gotten promoted, and she's 25, and she's now the paddock analyst for Gulfstream Park, which a big deal. It's a big deal. So, she is definitely she's going to be the next big thing, as far as paddock analysts. And, you know, you have Maggie Morley, you have Donna, and then it's pretty much Gabby. So she's kind of one to watch. And I've got a couple of other friends who in the publications department who would also do great in that spot as well. So you never know what life is going
to
throw at you.
I'm still waiting for them to call me. I'm still waiting on that call because that is the dream job.
Hey, Callie, I got to ask you, what is your day like for people that, you know, are think you probably get up late and then just ride races in the evenings? It's not like that. What's your day like?
Absolutely not. It's been nonstop for me. So right now, we just started, for the new year, we just started the racing calendar where racing at Laurel is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So typically, I get up at 4:30 every morning. I'm up at 4:30 every morning. I like to get to the barn around 5:30. Sometimes I wait 10 minutes for my car to warm up now with this weather. So, give or take 10 minutes. And then I like to be there before the track opens. And I go, I hustle around, I walk from barn to barn and talk to, network, talk to trainers, get on some horses, whether they're, breathing, working out or just galloping or just, I've gotten on some joggers and the fact that I'm a jockey really hasn't changed the fact that I've still been a gallop girl in the morning for the past couple of years. And then I usually get done with, the morning barn stuff and I'll walk around with my agent. My agent will come with me and, shoot it with the trainers while I'm on horses. Getting me into horses for entries, figuring stuff out, and managing and handling my business, which is great. A decent agent is absolutely essential to have a successful career. And I've been on both sides where I've had a great agent and then I have had some unfortunate experiences with some agents. So it really is like any other industry where there's good and there's bad and everything. But when the good is good, it's great. Everything is, peachy. So I'll be done with the horses in the morning and then I'll either take a little bit of a step back, go over my entries, do some homework and work out. I like to go to the gym a lot. I still got an exerciser that I get on. During the week, sometimes there's night racing at Penn National, which is about a 2-hour drive away. So depending on my entries and what horses I'll get in, I'll head to Penn for the night. The latest race has been around, I think it was 9:30 or 8:30. And then I'll be done with that and drive back home and get up and do the whole thing over again. Now on race days, I'll basically go home, take a shower, get back. I like to be back in the jock room early. If I'm in the first couple races, I like to be there by 10:30. I stretch. I map out my races. I take more notes. I warm up, just do different stuff. And then as an apprentice, there's a lot of apprentices here down in Laurel. And depending on how the races go the day prior, prior racing, not just the prior day, but if there's any inquiries or any fouls or objections, the stewards and the apprentices and the following riders that are applicable to the situation, we all go into film at 11:30 and we watch anything that's gone on. Basically, you get shown what not to do. And then you get ready to go. And a lot of times I'm in the first couple races and post time is at 12:25. And depending, I'm not in every race, although I would like to be. I'm not in every race all day. But a lot of apprentices, the way it goes is they're usually in the first and the last. And then some have, races in between. So I've gone from, I have races 1 through 4 and then 7 and then 9. So I'm done by 6, I can't remember the last post time, but it's around 5 o'clock, 5:30. And then I'll go home and start it all over again.
That's quite a day.
It is quite a day.
Well, you're hoping to be in all the races. Do you select what horses, or since you're still kind of a newbie, do they just say, hey, you're riding this one? Or is it like, do you want to ride this one and can you turn them down? Where you just ride anything?
Typically, when you're an apprentice, you ride anything that has hair on its back.
Gotcha.
Well, it's, but now you have to, it's both. You want to ride horses that actually do have it. They may be a 30 to 1 shot, but if the horse actually is training decent and it looks all right, I will definitely ride that horse and give it the, and I give any horse the best ride I can. And then it runs in the, sometimes I'll have, you know, one or two horses that I've ridden in the same type of race and they'll all go in the same race and I have, you know, I have to pick one. And a lot of time, a number of times that my agent and I will discuss, otherwise my agent will just, he knows what's best for my business and he will put me on, you know, what will be best for my business. And, it's a bit of everything, Jen.
Yeah. So now do you get, if you're walking around with your agent in the barn, I always wondered this, are you deciding on what you're going to ride tomorrow, today, next week? Is there much of a leadway or is it pretty short notice?
It's as far as races go.
Yeah.
It's usually pretty. It can be kind of short notice. Sometimes I've had a horse where you get more experience and you start to get a hold of business and you start to build business, you get a bit of a foothold on it. But a lot of times you'll know 5-4 days beforehand. And in some cases, like I've been on a horse a couple times and I've ridden them a couple times and then, you know, the trainer wants me to come work the horse and, you know, the horse is going to be entered for a race in, you know, 2-3 weeks. And it does get into that type of situation, which I love. It's great. I love knowing what I'm going to be getting on and I love having a feel for my horse. So,
and
situation I definitely love.
You've won 10 races now. That feeling doesn't get old, does it, huh?
No, it doesn't. It's great. There was a kid who just won his first at Tampa, but when he started riding, he sent me a text after I won either my first or my fifth or something like that. And he's like, how's it feel to win? I was like, better than losing.
Well, we're so excited for you, Callie, and I can't wait until you're an official jockey and you've been debugged. My new term. I think that you're going to have 5,000 more wins easily. No problem. I think you got a great career ahead of you and you're the next big one. We're going to say we knew you when, and then you won't talk to us anymore.
Pressure. You started saying that when I went over to Australia, so don't give me that. pressure's on though.
Pressure's on.
Pressure's on from Glenn to Geek.
That's it. Pressure's on. We're watching. All right. I just wanted to let you know.
Oh,
Callie
boy.
Francoise, what you want to watch. And look for her name. She'll be in the Kentucky Derby in 2 years. Just saying.
Oh, gosh.
Three. Okay, I'll give you three.
I don't know. I don't know what to say to that.
That's the same amount of time he gave me to get my Mustang to Rolex.
Yeah,
yeah. Take your time.
You guys, no pressure.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Now I know where this viewpoint is coming from.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. There you go. Perspective.
I think positive for you. Yeah. I am all about getting you enthused and excited. That's what it is.
I am enthused and excited, but
I have faith.
You know, it's all humbling sport, so you can't keep the expectations high or standards high and the expectations low.
Okay, so. Got it. All right. Then, you know, that's...
Gotta take a step at a time, Glenn.
Actually, in business, that's a good way to go because there's a lot less disappointment that way and a lot more excitement.
Yes.
So, good job, Callie.
Yes.
We love you.
Yes.
Take care and be safe up there in Maryland, all right?
Thank you very much.
All right. See you, Callie.
See ya.
What an exciting world, huh?
She's such a pro now. She's even handling you in interviews.
Oh, she's always handled me. We knew her. She had her horse at the barn where Jennifer had her horse in Kentucky.
Okay.
And that's how we first met her years ago. And she's always been a tough chick. She didn't take crap from anyone. And she was an eventer for a long time. She was an eventer before, but that wasn't exciting enough, apparently. So, we need to do 40 miles an hour, not 35.
With jumps.
Right. Get those jumps out of the way. Well, I know you have a child to take care of, and we're going to be back here tomorrow again. Can you quickly repeat for everybody that's just joining in? You want to go back and take a listen to the beginning of the show, but give everybody the Reader's Digest for the new listeners just joining in what the big announcement was.
I had this woman that felt sorry for me riding all the crazies, so she's given me a broodmare.
That's right. And Jamie's going to make babies. Well, her broodmare is going to make babies.
How about this? Let me start with this. I'm having a baby.
Yes, it's Jamie's having
not
a baby.
Not a human baby. Yes. I'm actually been free leased a really nice warm blood mare to pair with the stallion of my choice, have a baby, give the mare back, and raise a foal while I'm doing this show so you guys get to hear every disaster. And I need your help. I need to pick a stallion. I don't know how to do these things. I'm a total greenie when it comes to this. And it's exciting to do something in the horse world that you have no idea what you're doing and get to learn a whole new thing. It's been kind of fun. So this all happened over the Christmas holidays. And gosh, Glenn, and he tried, you guys. He tried so hard to get it out of me.
I did, and you were so good, and I've tried to trick you. I did everything I could. You know, the first thing I said was the same thing that the auditors said, you're having baby Luke's going to have another sibling. But
he is.
You shot that down pretty quick.
He is. He's going to have a little equine sibling, yes, a little colt that's going to have four white socks and a blaze.
Yeah, the human one got shot down really quick.
Watch me end up with a brown filly.
I think you're going to end up with a gray. You'll end up with a gray.
That's
going to turn perfectly white, and you're going to have to be buying shampoo by the gallons.
Oh, gosh, don't wish that on anybody.
Well, I'm very excited for you. I think it's so cool. Babies are so cool, and I know that everybody out there is going to be excited as well. And I see on the auditor page that they've already really started chatting about who the baby daddy is going to be.
Yeah. I know they've given me some good suggestions and some ridiculous ones. So I appreciate everything.
You did need to talk to Reese and have a chat with her.
Anybody who has any advice at all, just send it on over. Jamie@horseradionetwork.com. I'll appreciate it.
Very cool. Well, we can't wait to see the little baby on the first day. It's going to be so neat for you. And boy, what a, you know, and the other thing too, is this is going to be a great experience for Luke, for him to go through too.
Well, you know, I figure it's going to be his horse. They'll grow up together.
Yep.
He can train it.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, he can train. I don't have green on green ready, but no. I will.
It's always a good idea. Love it. Yeah.
It's always a good idea to give a baby a baby.
Yeah, that's always a great idea. Yeah.
For those who,
by the way, Jennifer's already said Philly. She's already predicted the. We're going to have so many pulls on this.
Oh gosh. You know what? Let's just start by, I'm picking up the mare tomorrow. Let's start with that. And then we'll start with the stallion. And then we'll go to, oh my God, like, please, dear God, let's get this thing pregnant.
How much white, you know, you're pregnant. We're going to have a pull on everything. We could probably get in the sports book in one of the Vegas places.
I'm going to be periscoping reproduction exams from this mare, just for your own good.
There you go. Anybody who wants to follow, they can go where? On Periscope? Who are we following?
Oh, I think my Twitter handle.
Your Twitter, yeah.
God, I'm a Twitterer.
Is it not Flyover really. Farm?
It's Flyover Farm.
Flyover Farm on Twitter, and that's how you can follow her on Periscope. I got to do that. I don't think I follow you. I never
Periscope. I never tweet. So, but I will. I will start.
All right.
It's going to happen.
All right. Very good. Well, congratulations, Mama.
Thank you very much, Grandma. Now I'm going to be a grandma.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations, Grandma. That sounds bad. And thank you to all our guests today. What a fun batch. We had some people who had some excitement last year. We have Darlie with all kinds of things coming up. And we have Callie, who's on her way to being a superstar in the racing world. So what a fun morning on this special Tuesday edition. We're sorry Emily couldn't be here, but she'll be coming back. So we'll see her again next month, and we'll be talking all about jumping. But we did cover a little bit of jumping just for her.
We did.
In her honor.
Of her and Equestrian. EssequestrianCo.com.
Thank you, everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow morning. 3 days in a row, like the old days, Jamie. Like the old days.
Oh, gosh, I'm exhausted.
We'll see
you. Spay, neuter, and geld. I'm going to keep saying it, even though I'm going to have a baby.
Spay, neuter, and geld. No, have a baby.